Numbers 23. And of course, I believe it was last week, we got to kick off our 2025 theme with salt and life. Be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And of course, the Lord gave us an extra illustration with all the salt that we have been having to apply and how it melts the ice and keeps us from slipping and falling. And how that if we're the salt of the earth, we can, you know, obviously say the right thing, that apples of gold and pitchers of silver, just always say the right thing, to season it with salt, and can melt that heart of stone, as the Bible calls it, or of ice and so forth. And so, obviously, the first couple of Sundays, I will allude to that, and of course, it'll be there all year long. And I hope if you hadn't got your calendar, they're out there on the track rack in one of the bigger bins. And then, of course, there are some tracks out there that are salt and light tracks that you can put in your car and leave it tips when you leave your tip and all that kind of stuff and so forth. But anyway, appreciate you being here today. And we're going to talk about that today, is that salt and light will continue in that theme. And we saw last week that the salt can lose its savor and it can get basically good for nothing, just be trodden under people's feet. And so we don't want to do that. And so we don't need to lose our savor. And so we're going to look at some things that will help us keep it today. And we don't need to, we saw last week the light that the Bible was talking about was not electricity, had not been invented yet. A little switch on the wall had not been invented yet. And it was some type of lamp that had oil in it and so forth. And so the salt cannot lose its savor and be effective. And the light cannot lose that source, that oil. And of course, we know the Holy Spirit represents that oil. And so, as we preach today, we're going to look at, we all need to be able to keep our Savior and keep that source going. We all need the Savior, or we all need salvation. Again, you know, we're not a child of God, and we're just saying words of none effect if they're not, accompanied by the Holy Spirit in us. And so we need to be saved. We need to have salvation. Secondly, we need the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And of course, He will help us to be able to say the right thing. But that's the catch. We saw in Sunday school, the last thing that the Lord did to Peter, and when he was like, you know, do we need to build a tabernacle for you and for Moses and for Elijah? And God spoke again from heaven and basically told Peter, shh, this is my beloved Son, hear Him. In other words, stop talking. And so to not lose our Savior and not lose that source, we got to listen to the Holy Spirit. But the Bible says He's not going to scream. He doesn't have a microphone. He doesn't have one of those big old tubes that cheerleaders use, things like that. But He's going to speak in a small, still voice. But He's always going to say the right thing. So to keep our Savior and keep our source, we need to be saved. We need to have the Holy Spirit and listen to Him. The third thing, which we're going to preach about today, we need the Scriptures. We need the Scriptures. That's what's going to keep us from losing our savor. It's going to keep us from losing that source that we need to have to be able to shine. So, and then the last thing, we need some type, or we need to be in the services. Okay? Or we're going to lose our savor. And it's kind of like, you know, even the Bible, I'll say it, you know, you've been 6 months and you hadn't been here, you might start over, basically, as far as being a member. You know, you have to be in good standing. You have to be here to have that member vote. You've lost your savor. You've lost your source. And so you got to be faithful. So same thing here. We need Scripture. I talk to people all the time. I'm having problems with this. And man, this is throwing me for a loop. And man, this was hit me between the eyes. And this is kicking me in the teeth. And you know, you look at their attendance and it's Sunday morning only at best. And I'm like, it just makes sense. The Bible even says in Hebrews 10 that we ought not forsake. And then as the days get worse, which they are, it says so much the more. So we're going to lose our savor and our source if it's not Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. That's going to help us. It's kind of like, you know, I used to run bus routes. I used to teach a bus kids team, a Sunday school class. And buddy, it was hard. Why? Because the devil, their home, sad to say, you know, drug addicts, whatever, their school system, their friends, They had them 24/7, 7 days a week, except 1 hour. And that source and that saver is just not going to be there. 1 hour versus, I mean, I don't know how many hours that is. All right, lots. Okay, you mathematicians can tell me after the service. All right, but anyways, in other words, it just makes sense. That's what Jesus is saying. As the days get worse, you need more service, not less. And so if you're battling with something and you know something's kicking you in the teeth or you're having a struggle with it, you need more God. You need more source. You need more savor. And so that's what we're going to look at today. And so the title of my sermon is this, Why I Believe the Bible is the Word of God. Because we need this. This is going to help us to keep our savor and not lose it and let us be good for nothing and trodden under people's feet. Obviously, the Holy Spirit, when we read this, is going to illuminate it and give us that source of light. And so we have to have it. And we might talk about the, salvation obviously is there. We might talk about the Holy Spirit. And we just did a little sermonette right there about service, being in the services. But anyway, why do I believe that the Bible is the Word of God? And I'm just going to be honest with you. All right? Why I believe it. Okay? And the first reason is because my mom and dad told me so. Right? And they were, you know, obviously they didn't get saved until later in life. We didn't actually, church was not, and Bible was not a part of our life till I was, 10 to 17. We were in and out. But they gave me this. And I love it. And I always called it, and half of them are gone. I had the little cheaters. Y'all see the little cheaters? The ones that are black are still there. The ones that are not are gone. But when I first started reading this, I didn't know Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. I didn't know that. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I didn't know them. And so when the preacher would say that, I'd have to go to the front page and find the index there, the glossary, whatever it is, and oh, there's the list. And then I'd go over here and find the abbreviation. And then, he'd be on point two by the time I found it. All right, but the reason I believe that this book is the Word of God is because my mom and dad told me. Now, that's sad on some cases because there's some people that's my age that believe a lie because their mom and dad told them. Sad. Right? Very sad. But I believe it because my mom and dad. And I believed everything they told me. I believed if you get out of that bed one more time, you're getting a spanking. I believed it. That's why I didn't get out. All right? Now, there were some other things I risked it and got in trouble, but I believe what my parents told me. Secondly, I believe it because I studied it for myself. When I went off to Bible college again, from that Bible right there to Bible college was 17 to, it was only 2 years old when I got there. And I didn't know a lot of it. I was, I'm guilty of doing this. You know the story. But I was one of those that was sitting out there that didn't know the story. And I was in Bible college. And so I would hear, this is the right one, and this is the right one, and this is the right one. I was like, I'm going to decide for myself. And so I read books like this, and I got them. If you want to read them, I'll let you read them. I read books like The Things That Are Different Are Not the Same. Okay? I read that book. If they're different, they're not the same. Durr. Right? Boys and girls, they're different. They're not the same. And who cares if they're trying to mesh that out there? They're not. All right. So we see that the things that are different are not the same. It's an easy read. Smaller book. Those big ones scare me. take me, 2-3 years. But anyway, this is a smaller, but it's things that are different, not the same. And then there was another one I read by Al Lacy, Can I Trust My Bible? I'd been told by my parents, that's the Word of God. And I believed them with my whole heart. But then I hear people saying, nah, that's not. They get the Catholics have a Bible and the Mormons have a Bible and that's just one out there. Can I trust my Bible? Here's a little bit bigger one. Final authority. And another big one that I've read, The Awe of the Word of God by Gail Riplinger. They're awesome. And then I read another small one called Enjoy Your Bible. And it showed you how to read it and how to study it. Things like, I loved it. And then I read another one. If the foundations be destroyed, that's the title of it. We know the verse is, what can the righteous do? That's why the devils attacked it and tried to destroy it. And so I read that one. And then I read another small one. Which Bible is God's Word? And I read it. So my introduction here, why do I believe that that one and this one? Brian bought me this one when y'all called me to be the pastor of this church. He bought me this one, so I love both of these Bibles. But why do I believe they're the Word of God? Why? Because my parents told me and because I studied it for myself. Now, here's my real sermon, all right? The points, and I'll show you Scripture. Why do I believe that the Bible is the Word of God? Because God cannot lie. And I'm going to show you several verses where it says that He can't. All right, and if He could, He'd be in trouble, and so forth. So, Numbers 23:19 is the first one. You're right there. And first thing it says, God is not a man. All right? I can lie. I have. You can. And some of you is like, I've never lied. Well, right then. We've all lied somehow. Okay? But God is not man that He should lie. Neither the Son of Man that He should repent. God and Jesus have nothing to repent of. They've done nothing wrong ever. And so if God says this as the Word of God, He's not like a man that can lie. And He's not going to say, oh, my bad, I was just joshing. No. Then it says here, He hath said, and shall He do it. So whatever the Bible says, in other words, God says, if you whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like those words, shall. And whosoever shall call, and whoever shall be saved. Not might be, hope so, think so, is what we always say. But if God says it in the Bible, He's going to do it. And He can't not do it, because He's not like a man that can lie. And it says here, He has spoken, and shall He not make it good. So whatever God told you He'd do, He'll do it. God's God. And this is why I believe in the Word of God. Next one, if you want to turn to all these, you can. If not, I'll read them to you. We'll go a little quicker now. Now that we've got going here. Proverbs 19:5. Proverbs 19:5. It says here, a false witness. In other words, a liar. Somebody that told a lie. Told something that wasn't, that didn't happen and they said it did. Or that didn't happen. Or let me flip that around. They said that it did happen and it hadn't. So, but a false witness. It says here, shall not be unpunished. There's another shall. In other words, God, the reason that He's not a man and He can't lie, it's not possible. And He says, you know, if I did, I shouldn't go unpunished. If a person lies, they shouldn't go unpunished. It says here, he that speaketh lies shall not escape. I mean, that's in the Bible. So again, sad to say, these people out there that spread lies of false religion, they're not going to go unpunished and they're not going to be able to escape. And especially if they've changed the way of salvation. Their hell will be hotter, the Bible says. And so they're not going to go unpunished. Titus 1:2, this is probably the most familiar one of this text and or principle. Titus 1:2, it says this, in hope of eternal life. Yeah, I want to go to heaven. I want to live forever. In hope of that, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. And so the Bible tells us that we were in God's mind before the world began. His plan of salvation was in His mind before the world began. And He says, hey, all of you that hope in eternal life, that you can go to heaven one day, I promise, I can't lie. And before this world even began, I had it fixed and made possible for you to have eternal life. Hebrews 6:18. By two immutable things, in which it was possible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who has fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. So it's not possible for God to lie. So those first verses, the reason that I believe God's Word is God's Word is because God can't lie. And then He said these verses. 2 Timothy 3:16, very familiar. And verse 17, we'll throw that in there. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is given by God, and it's inspiration by God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, for in righteousness. The devil hates all those things. All right, the devil hates God. He hates the Bible. He hates anything that's profitable. He hates doctrine. He hates being reproved. He wouldn't be reproved. That's why he got kicked. Right? He hates correction. He hates to be instructed because I'm going to be like the Most High. I'm going to ascend. I'm going to this. And he hates righteousness. So he hates all that. But in verse 17 it says this, that the man of God may be perfect. Whew. Right? I'm not perfect. I can't be perfect. But I hold the perfect Word of God. And what I preach it. And again, that's why I'd say turn to this and turn to that. Again, if I ever said, that really right there doesn't make sense. This is what it should be. Throw me out of here. Hey, because I'm not being perfect anymore. I'm not preaching the perfect Word of God. I've changed it. And so that's why God gave the Scripture so we can rightly divide it. And if I'm not going to rightly divide it, I don't deserve to be up here. If I'm not going to rightly divide it, teaching. The teacher shouldn't be teaching. And so God says here, I gave you all the Scripture and it's good for all this stuff and it's perfect. When that which is perfect is come, that which is imperfect shall be done away with. They have the whole thing now. So, when that comes, it says you're thoroughly furnished unto good works. I'm not perfect, but God is perfect. Jesus is perfect, the Holy Spirit is perfect, and the Bible is perfect. Why do I think the Word of God? Because is the Bible, or the Bible is the Word of God? Because God said so, and He can't lie. 2 Peter 1:21. For the prophecy, talking about the Bible, came not of old time by the will of man. Just write down what you think. We might do that. Sometimes my phone will go off, you know, and I'll reach to get it. And my wife says, can I text that for you? She don't like me to text and drive. Neither do the police. All right. And she goes, well, what do you want me to say? And I'll say something like this. You know me. Just say what I would say. All right. But that's not inspired text. Okay. God didn't do that to these fellas. Y'all been hanging around with me enough. Y'all want what I want, so just write down what you think, and it'll be all right. I'm glad he didn't do that, because sometimes, I mean, very very seldom, I'll reread or she'll read the text, and this is why we actually read it before she sends it now. I wouldn't say that. Don't put that in there. All right. And so that's not what God did. God didn't tell, you know, from Moses to John, just write down what you think. No, he said, this is what I want you to write down. It says here, it came not by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as, here it is, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. God can't lie. So these people that say, oh, this one ought to be taken out, and this ought to be added. Or a better translation is this. No. The Bible says, God said, every word's pure. In other words, we've checked it. We've double-checked it. We've looked it up. We've made sure the definition was there. This is how I want. They're perfect. Don't mess with them. And it says here, he tried and found that it was pure. And it says here, and it's a shield. Okay. Again, most of us have never had to get behind a shield. Some of us maybe have been in battle, whether it be individually or even for our country. But if I was going to get behind one of those FBI shields and go to that door, I'd want it bulletproof. We found some tin on sale, and it was the same size, so we just molded it. It'll be all right. Go ahead. I want it real. I want it bulletproof. And that's what he's saying. He said, I made every word of God pure, and it's a shield. The devil can't mess with you. And it says here, and he put them, unto them that put their trust in him. So I believe the Word of God is the Word of God because my mom and dad told me. And because God told me, and God can't lie. Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is quick. Now that's not like some of us. You know, I used to be pretty quick. I could get from point A to point B pretty fast. Now point A to point B, I'll be there in a minute. Okay? I'm not quick anymore. But that's not what this is talking about. This is quick, like quickened. He hath quickened us. In other words, it's alive. Okay, all those other books I told you that I've read in there and read portions of them, I agreed with some of it. But I never had that Holy Spirit burn going on inside. And I'm getting to one of my points here in a little bit. But every time I've read this one, I felt the Holy Spirit burn. Why? Because it's real. It's quick. It's alive. And I've read a few books here and there over the years about a horse or about some dogs or about a coach or about this and about that. And every time I don't know that I've ever read a book twice, but if I ever did read a book twice, it would be the exact same story. But I've read this Bible because it's alive. Obviously, God's not going to make up stuff and switch stuff in and out. But it's amazing that if you're looking for something and you're asking God for something and you read, I've never seen that before. Why? It's because it's alive. And God cannot lie. So it says here, for the Word of God is quick and it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. No other book can mess with your soul and spirit. But the Word of God that's quick and alive can. And the joints of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So why do I believe the Bible is the Word of God? Because God cannot lie. Secondly, why do I believe that the Word of God is the Word of God? Because Jesus testified of it while He was here. So all those verses that God says, I can't lie. I couldn't go unpunished if I could, but I can't, and I didn't. And all Scripture's given, and it came not by old men writing down what they thought. But I said what I wanted to say. But then while Jesus was here, He was saying, so many aspects that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God, the Son of the living God, but they that don't, they believe that, what I'm trying to say. There's a lot of people out there that believe that Jesus is God's Son. But they stop right there. But what God wants us to do is accept that book. Because the Bible says even Jesus Himself holds this to higher regard than His own name. So Jesus testified of this book. And if He said that, I want you to give that book more respect than me. That's hard. But He said, I hold that to a higher standard and a higher regard than I do my own name. So, we accept the divine authority. We ought to accept the life that he lived while he was here on the earth. We accept the divine work that he wrought. We accept the divine death that he died. We accept the divine resurrection that he had. We accept the divine ascension that he took back up into heaven. We accept that divine salvation plan that he gave us. And we accept the divine plan that He has to return to get us. But some people, they don't believe the divine revelation of the Word of God. Deuteronomy 4:2. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish. In other words, take away. Diminish aught from it. That ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. And so again, in my studies, some of the ones that have messed with it and taken stuff out. I'll just give one example. Zondervan was a Bible publishing place, and they hired a homosexual. So throughout, they made a new change, and every sodomy or sodomite or homosexuality abomination that was mentioned took it out. Why? Because obviously, it convicted them. But they wanted to add. And then I've seen others that said, okay, I believe you have to be, praying to Mary, put pressure on Mary to put pressure on Jesus, to put pressure on God to be saved, and you have to do all this, 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 this. So they added that kind of stuff, and then they just have their own Bible. So we see here that the Bible says in Deuteronomy, Old Testament, don't add, don't diminish aught. Why? Because you can't keep all my commandments if you do that. Revelation 22:18. For I testify, this was John, unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall not add unto him the plagues that were written in this book. So, obviously we know it was hundreds of years between Deuteronomy being written and Revelation being written, but the same fact is there. God says, don't add, don't take away from the Word of God. Revelation 22:19, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. Some people believe that they can lose their salvation there. But it says here, took away his part. It didn't say take away his name. So I don't know. But it says here, out of the holy city, from these things which are written in this book. So in other words, obviously, that they would not get some of the rewards that they would get when they get up into heaven. So we see, A, Jesus testifies definitely and specifically of his divine authorship of the whole book. Mark 7, 10 through 13 says this. He calls the law of Moses, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. He called it the Word of God. If you look in Mark 7, verses 10 through 13, this is red letter, and Jesus was talking about the law of Moses, and in that same verse, verse 13, I believe it is, he called it the Word of God. Luke 2, 24, 27 says here, and the beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So we see here, if you study out the Old Testament, you have the Pentateuch, the first five books, the law, the book of Moses. Then you have the prophets. Some people divide that into major prophets and minor prophets. Okay? And then, well, where's the Psalms? Luke 24, 44. And he said, Jesus speaking again unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. And all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets, and here it is, and in the Psalms concerning me. So when Jesus was here on the earth, obviously the New Testament wasn't finished yet. But they had all the Pentateuch, the law, the books of Moses. They had all the prophets. They had the book of Psalms. And he said, all that you're reading in there that's talking about me, I've got to do that while I'm here. The Bible in Jesus' day was that, the law of Moses and the prophets, the major and the minor, and the Psalms. And he approved all three in Luke 24, 44. Jesus also testified in John 10, 35, now we're in the New Testament, that the Word of God came and Scripture cannot be broken. Cannot be broken. And of course, there's many of these. I'll just give you one. There's many things that were prophesied in the Old Testament that took place in the New Testament. The one that I'll give you this morning, it was prophesied in the Old Testament that not a bone would be broken in Jesus. All right? Now, he was beaten beyond recognition, the Bible says. You couldn't even tell he was a man. But there was not a bone broken. And the New Testament says when that guard left that or was going home that night, his job was to go by and break every leg of anybody on that cross before he went to the house. That was his job. Why? Just in case they got off, or just in case they could get themselves down, or just in case somebody else tried to come get them down. And the Bible says when they got to Jesus, he was already gone. He's already dead. And so they did not break his leg. That was the fulfillment of the Old Testament and New Testament. Jesus testified to this. So everything that God's Word prophesied has come true, obviously except the rapture. The virgin birth was prophesied. It came through, true. The place where He would be born was prophesied. It's come true. All those things that we've been looking at off and on in Sunday school. So Jesus testified of the book of the law, book of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms. Now we see here that he says in the New Testament, all this has to be fulfilled. Verse, the third thing says here, Jesus testified that the Bible should not be messed with. Matthew 5, 18. Verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall not in no wise pass from the law till it all be fulfilled. So we see here that Jesus testified of these things while he was here on earth. You got the book of Moses, do it. You got all the prophets, do it. You got the Psalms, do it. You have all these prophecies that's been being fulfilled while I've been here on this earth. Where, you know, how I would be born, where I would be born, and all this. And I say, in Matthew 5:18, red letter edition, Jesus said, until heaven and earth pass away, I don't want one jot or one tittle messed with. And of course, if you study that out, a jot was basically the smallest letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Okay, kind of like our A. It can stand alone. All right? That's what a jot would be. A tittle would be kind of like our cross member of the T or that dot of the I. Even that, he says, don't mess with it. Leave it alone. So Jesus, on Jesus' authority, we are not to mess with one jot or one tittle of the Word of God. So why do I believe the Word of God is, or the Bible is the Word of God? Because my parents told me. Because God cannot lie, and Jesus testified. I've got two more verses where Jesus testified. He testified that the Holy Ghost would teach you and bring to remembrance. He said, you just read it. You just study it. You meditate upon it. You try to apply it to your life. And in John 14:26, it says here, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whether I have said unto you. So Jesus was testifying, hey, that Holy Spirit that comes inside of you when you get saved, he's God too, and he'll teach you what this book says. He will bring it to your remembrance. And those of you that's ever tried to teach it or try to share it with somebody, you probably can testify that exact thing. What was that verse? What was that verse? Lo and behold, it wasn't that I was smart. It wasn't that I finally figured it out. It was the Holy Spirit. And somebody, especially if somebody gives you an excuse of why they shouldn't or why they can't. No, the Bible says, and He brings it to our remembrance. The next thing we see here, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they don't need or want the Word of God messed with. John 16:12-13 says this, I have yet many things to say. This is Jesus speaking again. Unto you, but you cannot bear them now. All right, he was telling his disciples that. I got a whole lot that I haven't said, and you couldn't handle it. You're not there yet. Verse 13 says this, howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. And so he was letting them know there's some stuff that's not here yet. There's some stuff that you can't handle yet. But when it's time, the Holy Spirit will bring that into your attention. So we don't need, and God doesn't want anyone to make it easier to understand. He just wants the Holy Spirit to teach it to you. And again, that's what we see. We see people that have messed with it. They've went against what the Bible says. That's an abomination. Don't do it. Oh, we got to get that out of there because I'm living that way. And I don't want the Bible to say it's an abomination. And then we've had other people add things to it. So this is the way I think you should get to heaven. So let's add this and add this and add this. God doesn't want that to happen. And so now we see here that there have been people. Let's make it easier. I mean, there's the ghetto Bible. Let's make it easier for the people in the ghettos to understand it. No, they just need to be saved. And the Holy Spirit can get the ghetto talkers on the right page. I don't know if there's a redneck Bible, but some people say, well, let's make it easier for the rednecks to understand it. I just want this one with the Holy Spirit teaching it to me. So why do I believe the Bible is the Word of God? Number one, because God cannot lie. Number two, because Jesus testified of it while He was here on earth. Number three, and we'll go quickly through these next couple, is because the prophecies that were fulfilled. We've already mentioned them. But we see the birth of the Messiah in Isaiah 53. You read that, and it just basically walks through the gospel and Him dying on the cross and Him shedding His blood. That was in Isaiah. It was prophesied. Daniel 9:25. It was written, so it was letting them know that this Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. Micah 5:2 talks about the birth of Jesus. All that was fulfilled. So statements of His birth, His birthplace, the reception of man was prophesied. Isaiah said, came into his own received him not. It said what was going to happen. And so that was fulfilled. His ascension, it was all prophesied and it's all taken place. Obviously, the only thing left to take place is the return of Christ. So the prophecies were exceedingly and profitable, and it seemed impossible for them to be fulfilled. But they were all fulfilled, down to every minute detail. So, obviously, if you study the prophecies and see how God fulfilled them, that would give you the confidence and the assurance that this is the Word of God. Why I believe the Bible is the Word of God? Because God can't lie. Jesus testified of it while he was here on the earth. And all the prophecies were fulfilled. And then it is also a book of unity. A book of unity. Now, we know the Bible says in Psalms how pleasant that it is we're all to dwell together in unity. That's not what this is talking about. In other words, how it fits together. It's unified from Genesis to Revelation. There's no contradictions. We talked about one, I believe it was a couple Sunday nights ago, about that young man that came and he went away saddened because he had a lot of stuff. And I thought, you know, man, that's very close to work salvation. But more study, you see that Jesus was just bringing that out to him. You say you haven't, you've kept them all. But we see here, you're covetous, bud. And there's nobody good, and you're not good. And you need a Savior. And so we see that he was teaching him, obviously, his mind's higher than our mind, his way's higher than our ways. I was wrong when I was thinking that that might be work salvation. I don't see how that... So if I'm ever messed up in my head, I just accept the fact that it's me that has messed it up. Because God says that there is no contradictions. In all 66 books, they all go together. Over the 1,600 years from the book of the law all the way to Revelations that it took to finish, 40 different men. And again, if God had a said, y'all just text out what you want or write down what you want, it would have been a mess. Because opinions would have been flying and all this kind of stuff. But he told all 40 of them what to write down. And so, and there were different kind of people that wrote them down. Some of them were herdsmen. Some of them were fishermen. Here's a scary one. Some of them were politicians. Some of them were kings, had royal positions. But God's the one that told them. So from many different places and circumstances, yet through all that conglomeration, not one mistake. It's all in unity throughout the Scripture. So it gives me confidence to believe that this is the Word of God. For 1,600 years, for 16 minutes, we'd get it backwards. 40 different men, for 4 different men, we'd get the story messed up. God had to be in control. So because God can't lie, Jesus testified of it, prophecies were fulfilled, it's all in unity. The next one, because the immeasurable superiority over any other book. Now again, some of these books I'm going to mention, I haven't read, don't want to read them, but some people give them some credibility. But the Bible trumps them all as far as amount sold, obviously truth, being God's Word. You know, there's been books written by Buddha, Confucius, Socrates, Marcus Aurelius. I thought that was a dude in a movie, but anyway, this guy must have wrote a Bible or wrote a book. The Catholic Bible, the Book of Mormon, any humanistic self-help books out there, none of them can stand against the Bible. It trumps them all, again, in sales and in credibility and in truth. Next one, because it has survived vicious attacks that's been trying to stamp it out for centuries. Not just weeks, not just a couple years, but centuries. There was people that tried to use brilliancy to stamp it out. And Socrates and, you know, other people, Confucius and brilliance. This is why it's not true, because I'm smarter than God is what they were saying. And you need to listen to what I say, opposed to God. No, thank you. Many philosophers thought they were smarter than God. And they have failed. There's been people out there that has tried to ridicule it. You know, all the these and the thous. And I thought it was written on a fifth grade level. That's just no way. They've tried to ridicule it. There's been people out there that tried to literally stamp it out. Burn it. Diocletian and the Roman Empire, they tried to burn them all. That was the law. And if you get found with one or a portion of one, you're going to be put to death. So, I mean, they tried to stamp it out literally. Now, I got 2 of them right here. Several more in there. It's still here. You can't. You can't ridicule it. You can't be smarter than it. You can't replace it. You can't burn it. You can't get rid of it. The Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away before this will pass away. God's going to keep His Word safe. So for centuries, every form of destruction has been tried. Human science, philosophy, wit, reasoning, brutality, and death. None of it has been able to mess with it. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but My Word shall not pass away. So why do I believe the Bible's Word of God? First of all, because my parents told me so, and I studied. But because God can't lie, Jesus testified of it, because it was fulfilled prophecy all throughout it, because of the unity that it goes together, no mistakes or contradictions, the immeasurable superiority over any other book in this world, because of the severe, vicious attacks, but yet it lived through it, and lastly, because I know what it's done for me. All the rest of that was facts. Facts. And true facts. All right? But my mom and dad told me, but I had to figure it out for myself. I studied it and heard a lot of opinions, but I had to decide for myself. I even read the verses that says, God can't lie to you, but I had to figure that out for myself. I heard the places where Jesus testified of it and all the prophecies that was fulfilled and all the stories of history that we've heard that they've tried. I mean, all that's awesome. And it's good. But what solidified it in my heart is what it's done for me. Because I haven't read Book of Buddha. I haven't read any of the Socrates or any of those things like that. But I have read from the greatest author ever, God. And I felt what it did for me. It was planted into my heart by a grandmother. I think before I was 10, I think the only time I ever went to church was maybe on a Christmas and the Easter with her. But I heard the Word of God. And even when I was at church and I didn't know, when some things would be temptation or offered to me as a kid, there was something that wouldn't let me do it. And it was the Word of God that was planted into my heart. And then that Sunday school teacher, the first time at 10 years old that I heard the gospel, it was planted into my heart. I want that. Why? Because I just heard what the Bible said. I heard she read the Bible in the class. And what was going on inside of me, I'll never forget. The devil can't take it away from me. Nobody can excuse it away. Nobody can argue it away because it was the Word of God doing it. And obviously, my pastor came over the Sunday after that, and the way we say, he watered it. The seed had been planted. I go into a few times with my grandmother and hear my Sunday school teacher teach it, and then now my pastor is there saying, what do you want to do with it? But from the Sunday that I heard it from her to the Saturday that I heard it from him, it hadn't left. It was still there, working inside of me. I could read Where the Red Fern Grows. That wouldn't took place inside of me. It was sad. It was cool. There were some things I liked about it. I just tried to pick a book that I know I read, okay? All right. But that book didn't do it to me. But this one right here, I've heard sermons. And I couldn't remember the whole sermon, but that point that the Holy Spirit was teaching me, it never left. Even though I left the Bible's presence, even though I may have been even trying to run from God, that principle was still there. That plant, that seed, that water, it was there. So now, from 10 years old till 57 years old, I've heard it taught. I've heard it preached. I've read it myself. I just can't explain what it's done to me. It's quick. It's quickened. It's alive. So it proves itself to me. It's kind of like, you know, somebody that's lied to you before. I know I've lied to you before, but you know, I promise this time. You got that? Mm-hmm. We'll see. You don't have to we'll see the Bible. You don't have to will see God. If He said it, He'll do it. It's not possible for Him to lie. So we see here that the reason I believe is because of what it's done for me. And so now, for 40 years, I've been trying to live it. I've been trying to read it. I've been trying to preach it. And it's still as awesome today as it was to a 17-year-old boy that started reading it for the first time. So it got planted. What got planted? The incorruptible seed. It got watered. What got watered? That incorruptible seed. And it did what it said it would do. It helped me get saved. It helped me change some things with God's help in my life. So, now I've tried my best. I've already read the verse. The man of God's supposed to be perfect. And I can't be. But I get to preach a perfect book. And I, in my own ability, I can't rightly divide it. But if I'll just say what it says and let the Holy Spirit teach it, it's alive. And I can apply it to my life. So, not only have I seen what it's done for me, I've seen what it's done for other people. Again, when you share the seed, the Word of God, to somebody, it's obviously we're the mouthpiece. God wants it that way. And He says, beautiful are our feet that we, if we take the gospel. And again, you give out the Word of God, not your opinion. I think you just need to buck up, or I think you need to man up, or I think you need to change it. No, it's not what I think. It's what the Bible says. And if you can say that to people, again, I've never saved anybody. I've never changed anybody. I've never helped anybody. I've never done anything, but I've shared this and watched it do it. First person I ever led to the Lord was one of my best buds that I hung around with. He cursed just like I cursed. He acted just like I acted. He looked just like I acted. But when it got planted and it changed my life, I shared it with him. Same thing happened to him. It's alive. It works. So I believe it's God's Word because of what it did for me and what I've seen it do for others. Now, I've seen other people run from it. I don't want to be saved, or I don't want to live like that, or I don't want to. And the effect's not there. Why? Because they didn't let it in. So we have to let it in. And that seed's been planted. I believe everybody here today is probably saved. But if you're not, you need to be. But the only thing, you got to let that seed be planted. And let the Holy Spirit water it by the Word of God. And any problem that we're having, whether it be spiritual growth, whether it be a mindset, whether it be a sin problem, whether it be, well, I mean, whatever. I know this will help you. Why? Because it's helped me, and I've seen it helped others. I believe the Word of God is the Word of God because of all those reasons. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Lord, we thank you for the Bible. Lord, we thank you for obviously giving it to us. We thank you for inspiring all 40 of those different men to write down what you wanted them to. And we thank you for leaving us the Holy Spirit when you went back to heaven so He could teach it to us and where He could bring it to our minds. And Lord, help us all to realize, Lord, it'll help us in every aspect of our life if we'll let it. Why? Because it's quick. It's alive. It's quickened. And any answer that we're looking for, self-help books are good, but not better than your book. And there's a lot of smart people. There's nobody smarter than you. So I just ask you to help us all, Lord, to determine to listen to the Bible and let it work on us. In Jesus' name. Let's all stand. Brother Derek's going to lead us an invitation. If you're not saved and you'd like to be, I'll take the Word of God and show you. The Lord spoke to you about anything, about the Word of God. You come, altar's open.